We want to turn back to Psalm 102 as we come to our portion for study this morning. We're looking at the Shorter Catechism in our series of sermons. And this morning we come to question and answer number 4. And I'm going to be dividing the catechism up into 2 sermons. And so we'll be preaching this morning and then again next week on number 4. I want to begin with an apology and a warning. The apology is that we are trying to squeeze that which is eternal and beyond our understanding into 2 sermons. One writer has described it as trying to gather up all the water in the oceans and putting them into an egg cup. Simply impossible. The reason for this is the Catechism question 4 is dealing with God. The question is, what is God? And the answer, although succinct and simple, is truly beyond our limits of comprehension. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal and unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. This is what we are trying to condense into 2 30-minute sermons. Simply impossible. And so I apologize. There will be truths that will stretch our minds beyond what they're capable of understanding. We're going to be looking at the very nature of God and his perfections, and yet we will only be able to see them in the most minuscule measure, because God is infinite in all of his perfections. And so I apologize. But I trust that this will be good for us. If you'd like further reading on the subject, I would recommend a good book entitled God Is by Mark Jones. Very useful and very readable. You don't have to be an expert in theology to read it. It's very clear, short chapters. So it's a book called God Is by Mark Jones. I also want to give a warning this morning. Don't ever think that you have fully understood God. Don't ever think that there is nothing more for you to consider or to be in awe over. Because we will never fully grasp God in all his perfections. Even in eternity, we will never finish looking at God and considering God. We will never reach the end of looking into these things. Don't think your knowledge of God is enough. Don't be satisfied with what you know. Hunger for more. Long for more. Ask for greater knowledge. Ask for a better grasp of the eternal. We should be like Job, who said, "Who are we to darken his counsel?" We are simply men, women, and children, limited, small, and feeble in our minds. And God is the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable one. So, with this apology and this warning in mind, let us turn to question and answer 4 in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, as we seek to learn from it this morning and again next week. This morning we're going to be taking the first half of the answer of the catechism. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. These are sometimes called God's incommunicable attributes. That is, attributes or perfections that God alone possesses. God alone is spirit. He alone is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. Next week we'll be looking at God's communicable attributes. That is, attributes that he shares or communicates with his creation. His holiness, justice, wisdom, goodness, and truth. We bear God's image in that we have these attributes in part, although twisted and stained by sin. Now, a lot of these are big words. I don't want you to be put off by the big words. I trust that as we go through the Catechism and as we go through Psalm 102 this morning, that we will have a better understanding of these truths, and that we will be growing, that we'll be brought to worship God with greater understanding, that we will love God more for who He is, and we will be reassured of the promises that God has for us. So don't be put off by big words. But with that being said, I want to ask three very childlike questions this morning. The first question is, what does God look like? What does God look like? The Shorter Catechism tells us, firstly, that God is a spirit. That's what Jesus says as well in John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit. This means that God has no physical body. Now, we should distinguish between the angels and God, and even between our immortal soul and God. Angels are spiritual beings, but they were created. They're not like God in this sense. They have a beginning. They grow in knowledge and understanding. They're subject to God. In that sense, they are spiritual, but they are not spirit as God is spirit. He has no beginning. Our immortal soul, it can't be measured like our physical bodies. It can't be touched. It can't be seen. Our soul is spiritual in that sense. But it is not God. It has been created by God. It grows in knowledge and understanding and love as it is renewed in Jesus Christ. It's subject to God. Our soul is spiritual, without physical being, but it is not spirit as God is spirit. You see, when we speak of God as spirit, we speak of something much more. The Westminster Confession of Faith puts it this way in chapter 2, paragraph 1. A most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, and so it goes on. So God is spirit, without physical limitations, and incomprehensibly spirit. And yet, as we look at Psalm 2, we find that there are places in the Bible when the language that is used to describe for us God, it's used in physical words. It's saying that we can see God, know God. Look at verse 2 of Psalm 102. Do not hide your face from me. Incline your ear to me. In verse 16, we're told that the Lord will appear in His glory. Verse 25 tells us that the heavens are the work of His hands. But how is this possible if God is spirit? If God has no physical parts, then why are we told these things in Scripture? Well, the answer is because God delights to reveal Himself to us. God delights in making Himself known. But to do that, we have to have concrete physical concepts. We know that a face smiling is a sign of joy, delight, even love and compassion. And although God has no face, this is what the psalmist is asking from God. Show me joy. Show me delight, love, compassion. Make your face shine on me. Don't turn it away. Don't hide your face. Look on me with grace and love. God is spirit, without body, limitless. But He looks on His children with love and compassion. His face can be turned towards us. How do we know that God hears our prayers? Well, He's described as having ears, even though He's spirit. Because it's good for us to know that God hears our prayers. God wants us to know that. And so he reveals himself in this way. And this is what Psalm 102 is. It's a prayer seeking God when all seems lost. The God who is spirit, who is limitless, he hears prayer. God hears your cries. His ear is inclined toward you. God's hands are described for us to refer to his works. His works of creation here in Psalm 102. In other places in Scripture, his works of deliverance, his saving of his people, God using his strong arm, his mighty hand, God as spirit isn't removed from us. God as a limitless spirit isn't unable to help, but he draws close to strengthen, to save, to work for us. For limited human minds to understand God, we have to have limited physical words and concepts. But how limiting they are. Because God is far more than these. Without physical body, he isn't limited by a face or by ears or by hands. He's infinitely more, infinitely greater, incomprehensible. And yet how comforting to know that he turns his face to us. He inclines his ear. He uses his strong, mighty hand to save. He is far more than we could ever grasp or imagine. And yet, he's not remote. He's not distant. Of course, God has also revealed himself to us in the most wonderful way. The one who is pure spirit came down to earth and took on human form. God. God the Son, the one who is fully God, fully divine, fully pure spirit, limited himself by taking on the limits of his creation, taking our flesh, our bones, our face, our ears, our hands, born as a baby, grew as a man, even died on a cross, yet still fully God. Rising again from the dead. And so in Jesus Christ, more than anywhere else, we get to see what God is like. In John chapter 14, Philip, the disciple, asks Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus answers Philip, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Friends, in Jesus Christ, we see what God is like. We see God's face turned toward us with a loving, gracious smile. We see God's ear turned towards us as we cry out in prayer for mercy and for forgiveness. We see God's hands at work to save us, sustain us, showing grace, compassion, and mercy. We see God the Father in God the Son. This means that we can know God. We can know that which is spirit. We can look upon that which is spirit, vast, immense, immeasurable, pure, unapproachable, but we can see and know him. Because he's revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. What is God like? Our second question is, where does God live? Where does God live? God, we are told, isn't just spirit, but he's infinite and eternal. And although these two words mean something slightly different, I've grouped them together for the purpose of application. God is infinite and eternal. That means that he is outside of space and time. As created beings, we are very limited. We can only understand things in very limited sense. We are created. We're created in space and time. We have a beginning, and we change as time goes on, and we have an end. But not God. Listen again to what we're told in Psalm 102. Look at verse 3. My days pass away like smoke. Verse 11. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But then in verse 12. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. Verse 25. Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. God is before all things. He existed before all things. He has always existed. He will always exist. There's no beginning and no end to God. Look at the end of verse 27. Your years have no end. This means that God's knowledge has no boundaries. There's no place or time that he doesn't know. He knows the beginning and the end. There's nothing unknown to God. We use the word omniscient. God knows all things. This virus is no surprise to God. And in fact, God is in control of the virus. He is infinite and eternal. He knows our situations. He knows the beginning of our days and the end of our days. He has them prepared for us already. He's in complete control. He is infinite and eternal, outside of space and time. He knows all things because he's infinite and eternal. And he is in all places. We sometimes speak of God dwelling in heaven. Heaven is spiritual. God is in the spiritual realm, but also in the same way, he is in the physical realm. Now, we can't get our minds around this because we are limited. We can only think in terms of physical, in terms of time. But God is both outside that, and as creator, he's also in space and time. He is everywhere present, omnipresent. Is a word that we sometimes use. This means that we can tell our children, God is here. Not just heaven, not just in the spiritual and eternal, but he is here today. Not just outside of space and time, but in space and time, here with us, with you. Wonderfully, God also comes to live in us. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, God says, I will put my spirit within you. The spirit of God isn't a force or a power. It's God himself. And he comes to dwell within us, in his people, in his church. He does this through Jesus Christ. This means we can't be so far away from God, or so shut up in our homes that God isn't present with us. God is close at hand. He is there when you call. He's there when you wake, when you go to sleep. He is everywhere present. And he's with each and every one, his people, in Jesus Christ. Christ makes his home in our lives when we come to God in repentance, saying sorry for our sin, crying out to Jesus Christ and asking that through Christ we're made clean and made new creations. And so God comes and dwells within us. So we're never far from God, not just because he is eternal and infinite, not just because he's the one who dwells outside of time and space, but because in his great mercy, he has chosen to make his dwelling in our hearts. Where is God? He is here. He is with you. He's not far from you. Ever present with you. The eternal, infinite one. What is God like? He is spirit, but he's not removed from us. Where is God? He's infinite and eternal everywhere, but he's not remote from us. And then our third and last question this morning, what does God do? What does God do? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. God is unchanging. We are fickle people. We change. We pass away like smoke. We have fears and anxieties. We grow weak. We wither like the grass. We lie awake. We cry. We are like the psalmist of Psalm 102. But also, like the psalmist, we can cry out to the living God, to the God who does not change. Because unlike us, God remains. Verse 27, you are the same. Your years have no end. This unchangeableness of God is mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Here it is in reference to God as the covenant God. He's unchanging in his nature. He's unchanging in his promises. And it's to the covenant God that the psalmist cries out in Psalm 102. He cries to the unchanging God that the unchanging God will keep his promises, that he will save and deliver his people. And this is what God does. Just as he promised he will do. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his promises. He does whatever he has promised. God doesn't waver between opinions. Thomas Vincent, one of the Thomases that I've been mentioning through this series on the Catechism, a Puritan preacher and a man who wrote a commentary on the Shorter Catechism, he notes several ways in which God is unchangeable. God is unchangeable in regard to his nature and essence. He doesn't change in who he is. God is unchangeable in regard to his counsel and purposes. He doesn't change his eternal plan. And God is unchangeable in regard to his love and special favors. God doesn't change his promises to his people. We can completely trust his promises to us in Jesus Christ. And God has promised that as we turn to Jesus Christ, he forgives our sins. He adopts us as his children. He sustains us. He has in store for us an eternal inheritance. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And will these be taken away from God's children? Will God suddenly one day change his mind? Of course not. Because he's unchangeable. God keeps his promises. This is what he does because he is the unchanging God. He doesn't change in his love for us in Christ. He doesn't change in his grace, his compassion, his justice. And so the psalmist can cry out to God in assurance that God will hear and answer because God does not change. He shows pity to those that he set his love on. He will build up his people, build up his church. He will hear the prayer of the destitute as we cry out in Jesus Christ. Friends, there's great comfort for us today that the one who is spirit, infinite, eternal, is also unchangeable. We can have great reassurance today as we come to God in prayer because he is unchangeable. We can trust God today because he is unchangeable. God isn't like us. He doesn't change his mind, his emotions. Always loving, always just, always full of grace and full of truth, we can completely trust him. And so where is your trust today? Do you know that you have an eternal, everlasting God who's revealed himself in Jesus Christ, who's with his people in Jesus Christ, who keeps his promises in Jesus Christ? And here we are just scratching the surface. We are trying to take all the water from the oceans, the seas, and the rivers, and we're trying to squeeze and compress them all into the smallest little egg cup. But God is infinitely more than that. But how wonderful this morning to know that he is Spirit, limitless, and yet draws close. That he is infinite and eternal, and yet has made himself known. That he is unchanging, so that we can be completely reassured that the God who has promised salvation will carry it out to completion. In Jesus Christ, amen.